It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. Today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Friday, everybody. Good to have you listening here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, at this time or any time. As we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening, I do believe there is hope for this nation. Here on this Friday in September, we have a great broadcast lined up, and this is our abortion special. There's so much in the news about Planned Parenthood, about abortions, and one of the grievous things that's happened in our nation is the genocide of 55 million babies that have been aborted since the Supreme Court said it's legal. So right now we are having a 1.1 million U.S. abortions each year. And today we have as our special guest a young lady that had an abortion when she was a teenager. She tells her story, and I know it's going to be a moving story. I've heard her testimony once before. Rhonda Kinzer, who's a college professor, will be on with us today. And if you know of anyone that has had an abortion, still grieving, or anyone contemplating an abortion, you need to have a listen in today because it's going to be a wonderful broadcast. And so I want us to pray right now, and we're just going to get right to it. Father, we just pray your will, plan, and purpose be done in this on this broadcast today here on BPN Radio. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint this broadcast, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And I pray that you'd anoint our spiritual ears to hear, our spiritual eyes to see, our hearts to receive. And Lord, we just pray as we come by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, that you will minister to us today here on BPN Radio. If you're not receiving our daily prayers, go to letsprayamerica.com. Letsprayamerica.com and sign up right there on the homepage. And you can sign up your church, your city. We have about 1,100 churches now that are praying with us here on BPN, Breakout Prayer Network, and we have almost 800 cities. You can sign up your church, your city, and, of course, if you give us your personal email address, we will send you out a prayer that I personally design and send out every day. We've done this for over 3 years. So thank you for being a part of BPN. And Gene and I are going to take, after today, we're going to take a few days rest. And just going to be with my wife for a week. And my granddaughter, Taylor Gentry, she'll be sitting in tomorrow for me. And she's going to have Kat Armstrong, who is the founder and director of Polish Ministries, a ministry for women. And you don't want to miss that broadcast. And then next Sunday through this coming Sunday through Saturday, our producer Michael Schonborn will be sitting in, and he'll be playing some of the most requested interviews over the past 10 months. So pray for Gene and I as we take a few days off to rest. That's what the prophetic word for September was, rest. And I believe it's going to be a profitable time. And so we're going to be back with... we're going to be back with Rhonda Kinzer's interview. Have her on the phone from Kansas to speak to us. But first of all, we're going to have our friend Tanya Goodman Sykes. She's going to sing a song today, a couple of songs today. And then we're going to be praying for those of you that need prayer. Okay, here is Tanya Goodman Sykes. Then we'll have Rhonda Kinzer's interview.
Baby, you'll hold them all. You're my sunshine angel. Sunshine angel, you are the light of my day. Sunshine angel, I'm glad you came shining my way. So glad you came shining my way. Glad you came shining my way.
Okay, it's great to have here on BPN Radio on this Friday, a friend of Jean and I, and we know that she has an incredible story to tell. And you are going to definitely be blessed by the testimony of Rhonda Kinzer. And Rhonda, along with her husband, Delvin, who are associate pastors at Abundant Life Fellowship in Liberal, Kansas. Jean and I have ministered there on several occasions. We love the Kinzer family. What a wonderful family they have. They've served with senior pastor Dr. Ollie Kinzer for the past 16 years. Rhonda has a master's degree in counseling psychology from Oklahoma City University, serves as the counselor and retention specialist for Seward County Community College in Liberal, Kansas. In June of this year, the Lord began dealing with Rhonda about sharing her personal testimony of God's grace and forgiveness. Raised in a pastor's home, her life was turned upside down when her parents divorced. At age 15, she was pregnant and faced with a choice. Her decision to abort the child would impact her life for years to come. But God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Jesus has taken away the guilt and shame of that decision and is now using it to bring healing to women and their families touched by abortion. I recently listened to Rhonda's testimony. I was so overwhelmed and so blessed by her openness and transparency, and I just ask her to be on the broadcast today. So, Rhonda, it's good to have you on today.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, I appreciate your friendship with Jean and I and the Kinzer family over the years. Y'all are a tremendous family. And I know it took a lot of boldness to share your testimony after all of these years, but I know that God's grace is sufficient. And why don't you just tell your story? We'll be praying with people today, but abortion is such a headline subject at this very moment. This very moment. There's all kinds of stuff being said about abortions, and so I believe that we are exactly on time. Tell us your story.
Well, first of all, I just think it is only like our God to come at a time such as this and ask me to stand up and to share my story. And within a couple of months of him speaking to me, you know, we do have all the media about Planned Parenthood. And one of the things that he did tell me when he asked me to do this was that he was coming back soon and that post-abortive women, he wanted to bring them into the harvest before he came back. He wanted them to know that he loved them, and he wanted to set them free, and he wanted them to be ready for whenever he returned. And so that passion, that word that he gave me, helped me to understand that what he had done for me, he definitely wanted to do for others. And so I was about 12 when my parents got a divorce, and that set us on a road to move to Oklahoma, to Stillwater, Oklahoma. My mom decided she was going to raise three girls now by herself, and she wanted to get an education, and so she moved us there. And because She was a single mom. We went from middle upper income to low income, food stamps, and we lived in poverty for several years just while she was trying to raise us. And there had been some things that had happened in my past, but I had been molested for just a brief period of time. And at that time is when the enemy began to talk to me about shame and began to make me feel like I was worthless. And so when we moved to Stillwater and all of a sudden we were living in poverty, I felt even more worthless, feeling like that somehow God had just done all these horrible things to me. I had prayed and prayed that my parents wouldn't get a divorce, and yet they did. And so I had a lot of feelings of, I guess you could just say, rejection. And so when I was in high school, there's a man that was a very popular young man, and he asked me out, and I just was so impressed that he would even ask me out. And so we began to date, and we ended up dating for 4 years. But within that first year, I found myself pregnant. And the year before, I have an older sister and a younger sister, and we're all about a year and a half apart. And the year before this, my older sister became pregnant. And she was 15, and I just remember how my mom responded to that. My mom was very angry, and not just angry, she was so disappointed. I think part of that is because she had worked so hard to try to give us a better life. She was going to school full-time. She was working 3 jobs. She was sacrificing everything, and all of a sudden, here comes my sister, and she had chosen to get pregnant, and my mom, basically, she could not live in our house anymore. And so a year later, when I find myself pregnant, my boyfriend took me to the health clinic, and the lady who helped me actually went to our church, and her daughter was in my youth group. And so she gave me the pregnancy test, and she said, you know, it looks like you're probably around 7 weeks along. And she just looked at me, and she said, you know, here's the deal, Rhonda. She said, you're young, and she said, you have a choice to have an abortion, and if you do this before 8 weeks, it really won't even count because it is not a baby. It doesn't start developing until after the 8th to 12th week. So if that is something that you would like to do, you know, I can help you with that. And then she gave me a pamphlet on adoption. And then she was very kind during this whole thing, very compassionate. And so she said, you know, I'd be willing to go and talk to your mom. And I just remember thinking, no one's going to go and talk to my mom. So we left there. And in my mind, as a 15-year-old girl, I thought, I have a week to make this decision. And the big factor for me was that I was very afraid of what my mom would think of me. I really could not handle any more rejection. I could not handle the disappointment. When everything happened with my older sister, it was kind of like mom turned all of her efforts on me, you know, really talking about education and, you know, you want to have a career. And so because of that, and also because I did think in my mind, I don't want to be married and pregnant at 15. I want to have a career. So by Wednesday, I had made my mind that, okay, I think that's what I'll do. It'll be okay because this really won't count. And so my boyfriend took me on that Friday. So we had found out I was pregnant the Friday before. And then that next Friday, he had taken care of arrangements. And I had turned 16 the day before. My birthday is on August the 8th, and on August the 9th, I went in at 16 to have this procedure. And when I went in to see the doctor, because my boyfriend had taken care of all this, so I didn't even know where I was going, when the doctor came into the room, I realized it was the same doctor who had delivered my niece a year before. And I remember laying on that table, and in that moment, I mean, just being this young girl that doesn't really understand everything, thinking, oh, I didn't know that some doctors also who deliver babies kill babies. That would just seem so foreign to me. But anyway, so he began the procedure, and I had never been sick in my life, never been in the hospital, never broke any bones, and so I didn't know what kind of pain that would entail. And so I guess I was being too loud. And so halfway through the procedure, he looks around and he looks at me and he said, if you do not shut up, I will stop this procedure and I will leave a half-dead baby in you. Do you understand me? And it terrified me so bad. And I just looked at him and I said, yes, sir. And I shut my mouth and I just gritted my teeth. When I came out of the room, my boyfriend was waiting on me. And as soon as I came out, he just stood up and he came over to me and he said, are you okay? And I was thinking, well, other than what I've just done, yeah, I think I am. And I said, yeah, why? And he goes, I could hear you screaming out here in the lobby. So apparently I was louder than what I thought. So that is up to the time when I made that decision. Do you want me to stop for a minute? You want me to keep going?
You're doing well. Keep going, Rhonda.
Okay. So after that, I just kept thinking, if I just forget about this, if I don't think about it, I'll be okay. Just don't think about it, and it'll just all go away. And so for the next several years, I just medicated myself. And, you know, at that time, I don't think I was thinking, oh, I'm medicating myself. But that is what I was doing. I was doing drugs. My boyfriend, again, he was very popular, and he had access to all kinds of things. And so I did marijuana. At that time in the 80s, acid was really big, so I started using that. And I just started drinking like a sailor. So every opportunity that I had, I just did those things. And I did those things for probably about 3 years. And I moved on from him, and I had other boyfriends. And I found myself living in Oklahoma City. I was 19, and I was engaged, and I was living with a man in Oklahoma City. And one night, it was on a Thursday night, and this whole time, I had given my heart to the Lord whenever I was 8 under my dad's ministry, and I was baptized. But when my mom and dad got a divorce, I just kind of ignored God. I just walked away from him because I felt like he hadn't answered any of my prayers and he hadn't done the things that I wanted him to do. So I just kind of did my own thing. But I remember that night in Oklahoma City, I was getting ready to go to sleep, and I felt like I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to pack all of your stuff, and you need to get out of here. And during that week, there had been some things that had happened between me and the man that I was living with, and it really scared me. And so when the Lord just kind of, and I knew it was God because, I mean, it was strong enough that I was like, I need to do this, and I need to do this now. So I called my older sister, who was married at this time and had her children, and I told her what was happening, and I didn't have a car, and I said, could you come get me? And she said, yeah, we'll come tomorrow after work, and we'll come get you and bring you back. Well, I still didn't have a place to live. And so because I couldn't live with her, there was not enough room for me to live with her. And so my younger sister, who was 17 and she was senior in high school, she was living in a one-bedroom apartment in Stillwater. My mom had moved a couple of months before to New Orleans because she was going to get remarried, and that's where they were going to live. And so a man in her church, she was going to Calvary Assembly of God in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He had offered my mom to rent her out a one-bedroom apartment at a discounted rate so that she could stay because she was going to graduate from high school that year, and she was going to actually graduate in December. So she would just have had probably 3 or 4 months to be there by herself. So I called my sister, and I said, you know, I'm leaving this person, and Trudy's going to come get me. Can I come and live with you? And my sister at this time had given her heart back to the Lord. She had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was a mighty woman of God. And she didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry. I hate that things are going bad. No, what she said to me was, Rhonda, I'll let you come live with me on one condition. She said, you have to go to church with me. Because she said, I know the life you've been living, and you're not going to live like that in my house. And I thought, well, you know, when we were kids, I went to church all the time. And, you know, even after Mom and Dad got divorced, she made us keep going to church. So I thought, well, I can do that. That's no big deal. So I said, sure. So I moved back. And the second Sunday after I moved in, Pastor Stan Formby at Calvary Assembly. And I don't really even remember what he preached that day. But I remember at the altar call, we were standing there. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice of the Spirit say to me, Rhonda, I think it's time to come home. And it was so real again that I thought I thought my sister had said something. And so I looked at her and I said, did you say something to me? And she goes, shh, no, we're in prayer time. And I thought, okay, she just shifts me. I got to be quiet. And so I heard it again. And so her boyfriend was on the other side, and I looked at him and I said, did you say something? And he goes, no, no. So I just stood there, and on the third time, I heard the Lord say, "Rhonda, I want you to come home." And when he said that to me, it was like something just melted my heart. And so I made my way down to the altar, and I knelt down, and our pastor, quite a few people had come down that morning, so the pastor and youth pastor were busy praying, and I had went to the opposite altar, so I was over there by myself, and I kept waiting for someone to come pray for me. It seemed like forever. It was probably just 3 minutes. And finally, I just cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, no one's helping me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to come home. How do I come home?" And at that moment, he brought back to me, because I was raised in a Free Will Baptist church, and every time we had vacation Bible school and every time we had Sunday school, and we were taught the Romans Road to Salvation. And the Lord brought back to me scripture, one scripture at a time. You know, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I was like, "Lord, I have sinned and I have come short of the glory of God." And so each of the different passages, you know, "The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you." And in that moment when he brought that one to me, he said, "Rhonda, while you were yet fornicating, while you were yet doing drugs and alcohol, while you were yet getting an abortion, I died for you." And when he brought that one to me, that one took me a while. I just wept and wept and wept, and I just laid it all on the altar. And whenever I got done, because the last one was, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." And I knew that he had forgiven me, and I felt clean. And about that time, our pastor came over, and again, I mean, this is just the second time I've been at church. I hadn't really met him yet. And he said, "Can I pray with you for something?" And I said, "No, I think I'm good. I just gave my heart back to the Lord. I used the Romans Road." And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, "Well, hallelujah." And that's how I met our pastor. Wow. And so I got baptized a couple of weeks later, and I had never been taught about the Holy Spirit. That was not something that we learned in the Baptist church, and I couldn't get over the fact that they talked about him like he was a real person. You know, like God is a real person, the Father, Jesus came and he died, and they just kept talking about the Holy Spirit like he is as real as Jesus. And so I would, for the next month, I mean, I asked every question possible to my sister. We would stay up late. I went to my Bible and looked in the concordance and read everything there was about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And about a month later, it was an evening, Sunday evening service, and our pastor stood up and he said, "Turn to Acts chapter 2. Well, I knew what that was because I had been reading that over and over again, and I thought, tonight's the night. And so he gave an altar call for those that wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I went down. And the Lord filled me with his Spirit, and he gave me my prayer language. Wow. And in that moment, now for the second time in my life, I hear the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I will be the one who will take care of you." And I felt like, the only way I can describe it is like thick honey. It began to pour over the top of my head, and it just flowed all the way through me, and I felt like I was in a cocoon of the love of God, and I had never felt love like that in my entire life, and I knew that he loved me, and that I would never have to be alone again. And so I proceeded to go to school and, you know, live for the Lord, and then a couple months later in November, the weekend before Thanksgiving, my mom died. And I was 19, and we had spent that evening praying for her because she had been sent to the hospital on Friday, and we found out that Saturday at 2:30 that she had passed away. And my sister and I and a couple of friends from church had been praying for her all night. And anyway, when we found out that she had died, and they all went home, and we went to bed, and I laid in my bed, and I just wept and wept. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and I will be the one who will take care of you." And I had such peace because I thought, that's right, Lord, I'm not alone. And so I went on with my life, and I met Delvin. And I had never dated a man who loved the Lord, who was a Christian and was serving the Lord. And so we began to date, and I just thought, man, this guy he's awesome. And so we went home to visit his parents one weekend, and when we got there, they had stayed up late for us, and Delvin's brother had went with us, and his wife now had went. They'd take the guys had taken the girls home to meet the parents, and we spent that weekend with them. And I had never seen a family that really loved each other and took care of each other. And I remember everywhere we went, Ollie just paid for everything. And I had been used to having to take care of myself. And so I had made sure I had enough money so that in case I had to pay my way, but now every time we went somewhere, Ollie's paying for everything. And I just kept thinking, this is like Leave It to Beaver. I mean, who are these people? I mean, this is like who are these people? No one lives like this. And so when we got home, I unloaded the car and I got my stuff in, and I turned around and I looked at Delvin and I said, yeah, I just can't see you anymore. We're done. We're over. And so I shut the door and went into my house. And for about a week, he called and he would come by, and I would tell my sister, tell him I'm not here. And so anyway, about a week went by, and on a Wednesday night,
So Rhonda, why didn't you want to see him anymore?
Well, I'm getting ready to tell you.
Okay, all right.
And so that night, it was about a week later, it was on a Wednesday night, and my sister had just went downstairs and left to go to church, and someone was knocking on the door, and I thought, well, she must have forgotten something. So I ran down real quick to open the door, and it was Delvin, and he was standing there. And I couldn't tell him I wasn't home, because there he was, and he saw me. And so I opened the door, and he began just to tear up, and he looked at me, and he said, I just want to ask you one question, and if you will answer this one question, I promise I'll just leave you alone. And I thought, well, okay. And I said, well, what's your question? And he said, I just need you to tell me why. And he said, because I thought things were good. I thought you loved me. I mean, I thought, I don't understand what happened. And so I just looked at him, and I said, well, here's the deal. Your family is perfect, and I am not perfect, and I do not know how to live that way, and I will never be good enough. So I'm just not going to do this. And so he looked at me, and I know it was the Holy Spirit that just gave him the words to say, because in that moment, he looked at me and he said, you know what? I don't think that's what this is. He said, this is what I'm hearing. I think that you love me. And he said, and I think that you're afraid that someday I will leave you. And when he said that, I mean, it was like a dam burst inside of me, and it came out so much that it literally put me, I mean, I just fell down onto the ground like into this big puddle. And I wept and wept and wept, and I could not stop bawling. And he sat down beside me, and he put his arms around me, and he lifted my face to see his face, and he said to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, Rhonda, as God is my witness, and by the grace of God, I promise you today that I will never leave you. And in that moment, I just knew that you're going to have to make a choice here, Rhonda. You're going to have to choose to just trust him, or you're going to lose him forever. And so I just looked at him, and I said, okay. And so we just continued to date, and then he asked me to marry him, and we got married. And we were living our life, and I was finishing my degree. I went on to Central State and finished my bachelor's degree in psychology, and then I went on to get my master's, and it was probably about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months after I had gotten my degrees, and I was working, and I started having nightmares. They were very graphic. A lot of them had to do with me seeing myself kill myself. A lot of them had to do with just lots of blood. And then others were more graphic, just about babies and things. And this went on for 6 or 7 months, probably 2 or 3 times a week. And we would pray before we would go to bed. He would pray over me and plead the blood of Jesus over me. And I would cry out to the Lord, I don't know what this is. And at that time, Delvin was, we were faithful to our church. I was teaching Sunday school. I was the altar minister at our church in Oklahoma City. Delvin had gotten on the board. I mean, we were kind of like living this perfect life. We had been married for almost 6 years, but yet we had not had any children yet. And to be honest, I had no desire to have children. And there was a couple of times that Delvin and I had talked. And I just said, would you be okay if we just never had children? And I could tell he wasn't okay with that, but he was just working with me here. And so anyway, so I was having these dreams, and one Sunday afternoon I had laid down. Delvin was watching a football game. I think it was like the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. He was in there watching TV. And I had laid down for a nap on Sunday, and I had one of these dreams. And when I woke up, and again, I had been praying for months, Lord, please help me. And when I woke up, and I don't know if you want me to say this on the air, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. When I woke up from that, when I woke up from that dream, I saw, for the first time in my life, I saw a demon. And it was like as close to my face. I mean, all I could see was his eyes. That's how close it was. And they were yellow, and it was like kind of like cat's eyes looking. And it was like this big, huge black ball of like fur, and they had these tentacles on both sides, kind of like a spider. Mm-hmm. And they, about four or five on each side, and they were wrapped around my head, like it was holding on to my head. And when it saw that I saw it, it like just left. And because it's like it got caught, like he knew that I saw him. And in that moment, I was so paralyzed with fear that I could not move. And I was trying to holler out to Delvin, but I couldn't even speak. And so in my mind, I was laying there, and I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. What is this? And in that moment, revelation came, and he said, Rhonda, this is a spiritual problem. And you cannot win this battle except for by the Spirit. And he reminded me at that moment that Ollie and Anna had given me this book a couple of years ago, and I had never taken the time to read it, but it was by T.D. Jakes, and it was called Naked and Not Ashamed. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to get up, I want you to get that book, and I want you to read it. So it took me probably about a good 10 minutes to physically even be able to move off my bed, and I went into the living room, got the book, and went back into my bedroom, and I opened it up, and I began to read it. And in that book, I learned that it was the blood of Jesus that sets you free. And I, you know these things, but it was like revelation to me. And what I learned in that book was that when Jesus hung on the cross, that he bore the humiliation and the shame as he hung there naked for the world to see him. And the only thing that covered him was his own blood. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Rhonda, today's the day that you're going to forgive yourself for what you've done, because you have murdered your baby. And that was the first time he had ever used that word. I had never thought about murder before. And the Lord said, the spirit that you saw is the spirit of murder. And because you chose to break one of my righteous laws, that thou shalt not kill, you opened the door to be tormented by the spirit of murder. And the blood of Jesus is what's going to set you free. So I want you to say that you forgive yourself. And so I thought, okay, Lord. And so I tried to open my mouth and say it, and I could not. I mean, I tried four or five times, and I could not get myself to say it. Because all I could think of was, as soon as I say this, it's going to be as if though it was all okay and it was no big deal. But I knew in that moment what I had done. And so I cried out to the Lord. I got out of my bed, and I'm kneeling by my bed, and I began to just weep. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't say it. Please help me. And in that moment, this is what I saw. He took me back to the room where I had had my abortion. And I saw myself laying on the table. I saw the peach gown I had on. I saw the nurse standing to the left. I saw the doctor, and I saw the diplomas, and I could smell the smell of the room. But this time, I'm up high in the corner of the room, and what appears to be sitting next to me is God the Father. And I'm looking down on the scene. And as I'm looking down, all of a sudden, what appears to be Jesus Christ walks through the wall, and he walks into the room, and he's standing at the head of this table. And he stretches out his arms, and when he stretched out his arms, he was wearing a robe that was the darkest crimson color I'd ever seen in my life. It was almost like I can't even describe how dark this red robe was. And he stretched out his arms, and he covered the entire table where you could not see me anymore. You could see the doctor and the nurse, but you could not see me. And I, in that moment, the Father leaned over to me, and he said, Rhonda, when I look at you, all I see is the blood. I want you to forgive yourself, because if my son sacrificed his blood, it will be in vain if you do not forgive yourself as well, because I chose to forgive you. And in that moment, I mean, it just broke me it broke me. And I opened my mouth and I said, by the faith of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus, I choose today to forgive myself. And in that moment, I mean, I felt deliverance. I felt freedom. I felt purity. I felt clean. Wow. And I mean, it just came over me. And so I got up and I went into the living room where Delvin was, and he just looked up at me and he said, okay, what just happened? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, I don't know. Something has happened because there's something different about you. And so I told him everything I just told you. Uh-huh. And he stood up and he came over to me and he put his arms around me, and we stood in our living room and we began to just rejoice and worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And wow. Literally, the glory of the Lord came into our living room, and I felt like all of heaven was worshiping with us. It was glorious. And so the Lord had set me free. And so the next day, I was driving back and forth. I was doing therapeutic foster care, and I was driving back from a visit from Holdenville, Oklahoma, back to Oklahoma City. It was about an hour drive, and somewhere between Holdenville and Oklahoma City, as I'm in my car by myself, I had this overwhelming desire come over me that I wanted to have a baby. I mean, it was like, I can't even describe. I mean, because I had never, I mean, I didn't even know that I didn't have that desire before. It just came on me. So I drove home as quick as I could, and Delvin was fixing supper because it was about 7 o'clock at night, and I walked into the kitchen and I said, I want to have a baby. And Delvin had never heard those words from me before after 6 years of marriage, and he looked at me and he's like, well, okay. And then he kept cooking. And I said, no, like right now. And so within a month, we were pregnant with our first son, Mark. And we had him, and about 15 months later, we were pregnant with my daughter, Anna.
Awesome.
And so the Lord took me from no kids to two kids.
Wow.
The other part of how the Lord ministered healing to me was when we moved out here, the Lord called us to move out here 17 years ago to Liberal, Kansas, to help Delvin's parents in the ministry. And so we were here maybe a couple months, and Ollie had felt like the Lord wanted us to hold a revival meeting. And what that looked like was Sunday morning he was going to preach, Sunday night his wife was going to preach Anna, and then Monday Delvin would preach, Tuesday me, and then Wednesday my sister-in-law, and then Darren would finish up on Thursday. And I had never really preached before. I mean, I taught Sunday school and stuff, but I thought, okay, you know, it'd be like just a big Sunday school class. So I went in a couple of days later, and I began to speak to the Lord about what he wanted me to speak on. And he said, I want you to tell the people your testimony. And I just explained to the Lord how I had finally moved to a place where nobody knew me. I was in the ministry now, and I was going to be this wonderful, perfect person and holy person. And, you know, I don't want to tell everybody all this junk. And so for 2 days, I laid on my face and I prayed and I fasted and I begged the Lord, please don't make me do this. And he responded with, you asked me what I wanted you to share. You know the word, Rhonda, and you can preach anything you want. But if you want to preach what I want you to preach, this is what I'm asking. And the Lord had been too good to me to not do what he wanted me to do. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I stood before our congregation of about 250 people, and I cried the whole way through, and I shared my testimony. And that night, the Lord set free 8 women. I mean, just set them free. And when we were driving home that night, I just felt like the Lord said, if you will always do what I tell you to do, I will always set people free. And that was my first lesson in the ministry of just being obedient and, uh-huh. and doing what he wanted me to do.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that, we went to revival that next weekend in another town. Evangelist Nancy James was preaching, and she was preaching on the subject, it's a setup. And just talking about how the Lord can take everything in your life and he can turn around for glory. And I felt like the Lord told me to go down to the altar. And I just remember thinking, you know, I really am good. I there's nothing that I think I need to go down for. But I really knew I was supposed to. And so that was the first time I think I ever really went to the altar, just because he told me to, not because I had something to repent of. And so I went down and she prayed for me. And that night, I laid on the floor in this church in a fetal position, and I wept to the point where I could not control myself. And I remember thinking, Lord, all these people probably think this woman is crazy. I need to get myself under control. I am making a scene. But I could not stop crying. And she came over, and she sat down on the floor beside me, and she put my head in her lap, and she began to stroke my hair, and she began to say, I see babies, hundreds and hundreds of babies. And she said, I see you setting women free. And in that moment, what was such anguish turned to such joy that I literally could not stop laughing. And, you know, it's so funny because you always hear holy rollers or whatever, but I literally was laughing so hard. I was rolling back and forth on the floor. And again, I'm thinking in my mind, Rhonda, you're making a scene. You need to get yourself under control. But that night, the Lord delivered me from all the shame and all the guilt. And he told me that night, from this day on, when you speak of this, you will not have any more shame. And so, you know, from time to time in my own, you know, when I was doing counseling at the church or, you know, at the college, I would share from time to time my, you know, some of my testimony with different people as I felt like I needed to. But it wasn't until June when the Lord said, I want you to start doing this. And I'll say one more thing. In 2003, I was invited to be a part of a post-abortion Bible study. And I really thought, I mean, what more could I possibly need? I mean, gosh, Lord, you have been amazing. But again, he told me, I want you to do this. And so I participated in that. It was called Forgiven and Set Free by Linda Cochran. And during that 12-week Bible study, the Lord allowed me to grieve for my baby. He allowed me to know that I had a girl and that her name was Rochelle. And he let me love her. And he let me bond with her. And he let me know that she was alive and well and someday I would see her again. And that I knew that I had three children and not two. And I didn't even know that I needed that. But the Lord did. And so he has done a complete work in me. But it was a process.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
Well, I'm sitting here, Rhonda, crying. I don't have my handkerchief with me, so my face is kind of a mess. But, you know, I just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to people, and I'm so thankful that you have been willing to share this testimony that so many people hear. And I know that recently... in June, I mean, you invite the college staff to come and hear your testimony or some of the students?
Yes, some of my coworkers and several students and students that I had that were from the past, students that already transferred onto other colleges, they came. And the when the Lord woke me up in June and said, this is what I want you to do, I didn't remember this, but he said, August the 9th is the anniversary of your abortion. And I thought, and so I went and looked on the calendar, 1985, and sure enough, it was the Friday after I had turned 16. And so I had asked Ollie, you know, if sometime I could give my testimony sometime, because the Lord told me that he wanted me to do that. And so Dad called me one day, and he said, you know, Rhonda, August the 9th is on a Sunday. Would you like to share your testimony on your anniversary? And on August the 9th, it was the 30-year anniversary of that decision. And so, yes, I was able to share that with my church family and some friends and students.
Wow. I mean, being a professor at the college, how difficult was that to expose yourself to faculty and students that everybody would know? I mean, how did you do that?
Honestly, I think it was just the grace of God, because I just was not ashamed anymore, and I knew that the Lord had been faithful in the past, that whenever I did what he told me to, it would be for my good and others' good, and so I just went with that. And the hardest thing I've done since this has all happened, because the Lord has opened doors for me to speak at churches and youth, and I spoke last night at a youth rally in Hugoton to about 150 young people. That was probably the funnest thing I've ever done in my entire life. That was fun. because they're just the energy of the young people. But we had went in to talk to our, through all of this, the Lord has connected me with Linda Cochran, the person who wrote Forgiven and Set Free. Uh-huh. And as we were talking about me going somewhere to get a training, because one of the things I felt like the Lord asked me to do was to begin to do these Bible study with other women. Uh-huh. And so someone had offered to pay to send me to a training. And so when I was talking to her, she just stopped in the middle of her conversation. She said, "You know, Rhonda from Kansas," she said, "I felt like the Lord wants me to help you, and I want to come to Kansas, and I will do a training for Kansas." And so that's kind of a long story in itself, but she will come in November on the 20th and 21st, and she will do a conference for the state of Kansas. And so we were going to our local radio stations and newspaper and just putting PSAs out and getting the word out here locally as well as in Topeka and Wichita. Mm-hmm. And so we went to our local newspaper, and we were talking about the conference, and he's known Delvin and I for a long time. And he just looked at us, and he's like, "You know, well, how did you get started in this? Why are you doing this conference?" And so the Lord said, "Well, tell him your testimony." So I shared briefly my testimony, and he asked us if we would be willing to be interviewed for our newspaper.
Wow. The local newspaper.
Yes, sir.
Now everybody knows.
And that, he asked us on a Friday, and we didn't do the interview until Wednesday. And, Dale, I'm just telling you, I was sick for 3 days. I mean, I was nauseous, and I just told Devin, I was like, "What is this? I mean, why am I just so upset about this?" And I felt like, I asked the Lord, you know, why is this bothering me? I've been sharing my testimony around town, you know, at different churches. And I just felt like the Lord said, "You know, Rhonda, when you made that decision when 30 years ago, you didn't want anyone to know. And now you're going to post it on the front page of your local newspaper, and everyone in your town is going to know that you've had an abortion."
Wow.
And it was just, but again, we did it anyway. We went in that day and we did the interview, and you know, it's been awesome, Dale, because people that, I mean, that really don't even know us very well have emailed us or texted us, or God really used that to minister to people, and so wow. God's good.
Well, I believe that God's going to give you a lot of opportunities, Rhonda, to share that testimony, and I know that you're going to help so many, many young ladies that may be contemplating an abortion, or maybe some women that have had an abortion and they carry that. I just want you to pray. I know we've had a long interview, but you're one of the best interviewees I've ever had here on BPN, and you're fantastic, and I'm so proud of you. And I just want you to pray right now,
okay,
for however the Holy Spirit leads you. You just go for it.
Father, Lord, I love you. I give you glory. Lord, I thank you because you love us. You gave your son to die so that all the sin, all the shame, all the guilt, all the things that we carry around with us. And Lord, a lot of times we put on these masks and we want everyone to think that we're okay. But Lord, there are people who are hurting really bad. But God, you want them to know that they can be forgiven and they can be set free. And Lord, I just pray for any young girl that is listening right now, that Lord, that she's got a decision to make. Lord, may this be a divine appointment, a divine connection for her to know that, God, your will is life and not death. Because Lord, that one decision I know brought death for a long time to me, and the price was too high. And so Lord, I pray for those women also who have made the choice, and I know some women made that choice more than once. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that they would find that your blood is sufficient, that your grace is sufficient, and that, Lord, that they would cry out to you today, because your word is clear that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, Lord, they shall be free. And so, Lord, I pray for freedom and deliverance for those women. And, Lord, I pray for any man, whether it be a father or a boyfriend or a brother that has been involved in an abortion. God, I pray that you would minister to them and that you would set them free, that God, that you love and you care about them. And so, Lord, I just give you all the glory and all the praise because, Lord, you are still in the healing and delivering business. And so I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, I just set myself in agreement with you, Rhonda, and what a delight it's been to have you on BPN Radio on this Friday, and I just bless you as you continue to serve there at Seward County Community College in Liberal, as in Liberal, Kansas, there as the counselor and retention specialist. And I just know that even beyond your work there at the college, I know that God has an incredible plan for you as you share your testimony in many places. And I'm so thankful to have you on today. If people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can email me at Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A dot Kinser, K-I-N-S-E-R, at iCloud.com.
Rhonda Kinser at iCloud.com.
Yes, sir.
And I perceive that it won't be too long. You'll have your own website, and God was going to continue to enlarge and expand. I just believe there's going to be a lot of fruit that's going to come out of your testimony, and some women are going to be set free, and some other young ladies are going to make a decision not to go down that road. And so thank you very much. And your conference in November, how do they get information about that?
Yes, they can go to www.forgivenkansas.com. And if you go out to that website, it'll tell you everything about the conference, and it'll give you an opportunity to register. And if you, there's two or three hotels that are listed there on the website.
Okay.
And if they mention Forgiven and Set Free, then they'll get the conference rate.
Okay. ForgivenKansas.com, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Who is the lady that is hosting it again?
Her name is Linda Cochran, and she is the author of Forgiven and Set Free.
Okay.
She is a director of three crisis pregnancy centers in her Connecticut, New York area where she lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big issue right now, but I believe that everything is exposing opportunities for people to get set free, know they've been forgiven, and not to go down that road. Rhonda, thank you so very, very much for being on the broadcast here on BPN Radio. Rhonda Kinser, you did a great job, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, I love you. Thank you, sir.
Love you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay, it's been good to have Rhonda Kinser on with us today, and I've cried almost all the way through this interview. I'm glad that we're forgiven. Been good to have you listening in on BPN Radio. No formal outro today, just a forgiven song. I'm thankful we're forgiven. God bless you. Have a good day.
Past is playing with my head. And failure knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done. And that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know. Struggle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone.